Just give me 1 second. Thank you. Sorry.
Hey.
Hi.
2 minutes. Thank you. Hi, good afternoon. Sorry about
that.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. Have you ever done one of these interviews over the camera before?
No.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the job to get started with. It's not just a job. It's sort of probably the most important job. The title that we have going right now is Director of Operations, but it's really kind of so much more than that. Responsibilities and requirements are really quite extensive. First category for the requirements would be mobility. This job requires that you must be able to work standing up most or really all of the time, constantly on your feet, constantly bending over, constantly exerting yourself, a high level of stamina.
Okay.
That's a lot.
For how many hours?
135 hours to unlimited hours a week. It's basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I'm sure you'll have a chance from time to time to maybe just sit down here and there, yeah?
You mean like a break?
Yeah.
No, there are no breaks available.
Is that even legal?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So like no lunch?
You can have lunch, but only when the associate is done eating their lunch.
I think that's a little intense.
No, not possible. That's crazy.
Now, this position requires excellent negotiation and interpersonal skill. We're really looking for someone that might have a degree in medicine, in finance, and the culinary arts. You must be able to wear several hats. Associate needs constant attention. Sometimes they have to stay up with an associate throughout the night. Being able to work in a chaotic environment, if you had a life, we'd ask you to sort of give that life up. No vacations. In fact, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and holidays, the workload is gonna go up, and we demand that. With a happy disposition.
That's almost cruel. That's almost a very, very sick, twisted joke.
But when there's time to sleep or...
Oh, no time to sleep.
Yeah, all encompassing almost.
That's exactly right.
365 days a year?
Yes.
No, that's inhumane.
That's very insane.
The meaningful connections that you make and the feeling that you get from really helping your associate are immeasurable. Also, let's cover the salary. The position is going to pay absolutely nothing.
Excuse me?
No. Nobody's doing that for free.
Yeah, pro bono. Completely for free.
No!
What if I told you there's someone that actually currently holds this position right now? Billions of people, actually.
Who?
Moms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moms.
That's awesome.
And they meet every requirement, don't they?
Oh my God. Moms are the best!
Yeah, there's no pay. They're 24 hours, they're always there.
Now I'm thinking about my mom.
Yeah, and what are you thinking about her?
I'm thinking about all those nights and everything.
Thank you so much for everything you do. I know it doesn't seem like I appreciate all of it, but I definitely do.
So, Mom, I want to say thank you for everything that you've done. I love you very much. You've been there through thick and thin. My mom is just awesome. She's awesome.
Can we appreciate all the moms in the room? And a happy Mother's Day to you. I really enjoyed that video. I saw it about a week ago, and I like all the responses. I like that the guy says she needs to have a degree in medicine, finance, and the culinary arts. There is no sleep. That she can eat, but only after her associate is done eating. The truth is, when you see a video like that, really what it does is it defines, without people realizing, what a mom really is. And what you can see in their face at the end when he uses the word mom or mother, you can see that suddenly they have a true aligned perspective, do they not? Every one of them. They're like, that's abuse. That's wrong. Who would do that? And then he just says the word mom, and instantly, every one of the people interviewed, their face just goes, oh yeah, that's true. Today's talk is about that true perspective. Today's talk is going to be inside the book of Psalms, because that's the series we're in right now. And I'm excited to share what I feel like God has given me this week. Some of you know I missed last week because my wife had a surgery the week prior and her recovery was difficult. And so I have a very honest and true perspective of what it means to be a mother because I've had to be one the last 14 days. I'm here to confess openly in front of my church body, I am a terrible mom. I am terrible at it. I can't keep up with anything. I can't even figure out how to have clean clothes. I've been wearing the same underwear for 4 days. It's not a big deal. I turned them inside out. It's fine. I had a conversation with one of my children. I'm not going to say which one. One of my daughters. I have two. A few nights ago, and it was late at night, about 9:30, and the stuff she wanted to talk about at 9:30 tonight was so... I didn't understand why we were there. So at one point, she started sharing, and she's really sharing with me. She's sharing like she would share with her mom, who's sleeping upstairs trying to recover. And I'm looking at her, and there comes a point where I start to smile, and she goes, "Are you smiling at me right now?" And I said, "Well, I tried so hard." I said, I don't know why we're having this conversation right now. It's like 9:30 at night, and this is a big conversation. And she's like, "Because I felt like talking with you and sharing with you." And I went, and I don't know where it came from, but I went, right? Because I was so not there, right? It was 9:30. How many guys turn off after like 7? You watch the game, you're just done. Moms don't do that, I guess. I guess moms just, "Oh, let's talk." Because I was like, "Is this for real? Like, is this... what are we doing right now?" And she literally cried more. She's like, "How could you laugh at me? Now you're mocking me," right? And I'm like, "I'm just confused. I ate SpaghettiOs and I feel dirty. I don't know. I've got a quick and honest, true perspective of what it means to be a mom because my wife has been laid up. And as I said, I'm a terrible mother. All of us that have tried to take this on, guys who have tried to take this on, realize quickly, we're just not built to do some of the things that these ladies do. It's a beautiful thing, but the truth is, like everything in life, we forget this. That's really what this holiday is all about. It's about remembering. It's about remembering what it means to value that special relationship. As a matter of fact, Mother's Day is one of the most popular holidays in the United States. Let me give you a few Mother's Day facts, and this is just per the U.S. The National Retail Foundation estimates that Mother's Day is a $20 billion industry. Mother's Day is a $20 billion industry. Florists say they sell more flowers on Mother's Day than Valentine's Day. Yes, I have to admit, that really surprises me too. Until I asked a florist who goes to our church, and it was like right off the top of his head, he goes, "Well, yeah, because people have more mothers than they do lovers." Fair enough. Everybody's got a mom to buy a card to for. U.S. restaurants claim that it is the busiest day of the year. Mother's Day is the busiest day of the year. You know why? Because no one wants to make their mom cook. And they're certainly not going to cook. So they're like, "KFC, happy Mother's Day." Right? Yep. Long-distance telephone calls also peak on this day. The U.S. Postal Service experiences increased volume during the surrounding days around Mother's Day. According to Hallmark, 96% of American consumers take part in shopping on Mother's Day, while retailers report it is the second highest gift-giving day of the year, just behind Christmas. 96% of people report being involved in giving Mother's Day. Now, I would say that that's probably higher than people involved in Christmas. A lot of people don't celebrate Christmas or believe in Christmas, but there's not a lot of people who have a faith that doesn't believe in mothering or valuing motherhood. 96% of people value this day, and it's the second highest gift-giving day of the year behind Christmas. According to the National Retail Foundation, this was kind of a bummer fact, but I'm still going to throw it out there. According to the National Retail Foundation, consumers will spend an average of $163 on gifts for Mother's Day this year. So now you have a baseline, guys. It's $163. If you spend under that, you didn't honor enough. If you spend over that, even a buck over that, you're in the top percentage of people honoring their mothers. Generally, when we remember what it is our mothers have done, like this video, we tend to become thankful. And that's why this day is so well celebrated throughout our nation. This is the core reason we celebrate Mother's Day. It's all about remembering to be thankful for this particular special relationship. That's what Mother's Day is about. It's about remembering. It's about putting into focus. It's about getting a true perspective. So think about this then. When we forget about what our mothers have done, we lose thankfulness. And so the appropriate foundation for that relationship, the appropriate foundation between you and your mother should be thankfulness. But for a lot of us, it isn't. If I was to be honest with you and share with you from my experience pastoring people in Mother's Day, I would share with you that for a lot of people, today is filled with pain. Not all because we had mothers that we struggle with, but because for some of us, this is your first Mother's Day without your mom. I know a few people here today that shared with me this is their very first Mother's Day without a mom to buy a card for. For some of us, the day is a struggle because it's a day to remember what your mom wasn't to you. It's a day to remember the mother that you never knew. It's a day to remind you of a child loss or a child astray or a strained relationship with a child or a child that's desired but that you haven't or couldn't have. And so I recognize that today, and I want to tell you from the bottom of my heart how very sorry I am. I want you to know that I think God has a very specific and beautiful plan for your life, and although I am not the interpreter of it, I am here today to tell you all something important, both those who celebrate this day with joy and those who struggle through it, that through and above Mother's Day, this is really God's day. For this is the day that we get to remember and be thankful for all that God has done for us. I want to say that the Lord has never left you and is with you even now. And like forgetting our mothers, when we forget about our Lord and what He has done, we also lose thankfulness. And so the appropriate foundation of that relationship is forgotten as well. Remember this, no matter what your perspective is on motherhood, no one understands motherhood and the joy and pain it brings better than God, because God created it in its entirety. He's the inventor of motherhood. Let's go back to the very first mother, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. The Lord is now spending time with Adam, and He is naming all of the created things over creation. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now out of the ground the Lord had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. So Adam was an expert at naming creatures. He had done it now for a very long time with the Lord until every creature had a name. Verse 20, the man gave name to all the livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And when the man awoke, this is what he said. I think this is profound, so listen, this is what he said. He says, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of me," taken out of man. "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." Now, when I read this verse, here's a couple different things, because when I see Scripture, I have a hard time seeing Scripture at face value. I like to study it. I like to turn it upside down and inside out. And there's something profound in this passage, not because of the passage itself, but because of the passage just a little bit prior to it that we read. It says that Adam was an expert name giver. Expert. I mean, he would walk up and be like, "Giraffe, lion, tiger, hippopotamus," right? I mean, boom. I mean, he was getting creative at the end. When you start coming up with names like hippopotamus, right, and platypus, you're just saying stuff. You're sneezing and calling it that, like, platypus. That's it, right? You don't even know. But this guy has done this now for how long? We don't know, because time at this point is perhaps different than we realize, but he had spent enough time with God that the one thing Adam was good at was giving a name. And yet Adam, throughout all creation, realized that something was missing from who he was. And so God then causes him to fall asleep, and then from him, God creates woman. And when Adam wakes up, this is what he says: "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This was created out of me through God. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Do you notice that he called her woman and didn't even give her a name? Do you know that woman literally means out of me or mine? Basically, the guy woke up, saw a naked, beautiful chick, and he went, "Mine!" Right? That's what he did. That's the essence of the story. He gives names to everything else. He wakes up. It's like, oh, my gosh. Oh, get the giraffe out of my face. What's this bird doing here? You belong to me, right? Instantly. It's a really interesting perspective, and here's why. He calls her woman. He proclaims that God has given him a partner, is really what the word means, and that she belongs with him. And he does that, but he doesn't give her a name until later in verse 20 of chapter 3. The man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. So he doesn't name her until a little while later. He finally names her, perhaps because God explained who she was, because perhaps he finally had a true, better perspective that she wasn't about beauty, she wasn't about this thing to own. She was something beyond even what he could understand. And so he names her Eve, and he names her Eve because she was the mother of all living. But here's what's profound. At this point in the story, she hasn't had any children. She hasn't been a mother to anything. As a matter of fact, it's not until chapter 4, verse 1, that Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. See, there's something very significant about this progression. This reality that Adam didn't name his wife until he knew his wife, and once he knew his wife, he gave her a name that means the mother of all living. This progression is profound because Eve is called the mother of all living things before she even gives birth. She is literally considered by God in his design a mother before she even bears her child. And so let me just say this, because I covered a whole group of people in here, people with children, people without children, people who struggle with their moms, people who don't have any more moms. But let me say this, for women in the room who haven't had children or find themselves now childless, for any reason whatsoever, and I'm going to put this on the screen. The community of faith that you're a part of right now, this covenant family, requires the nurturing heart God has woven in you. And if God has not given you children at this point, that does not mean he has not wired you to nurture and shape the covenant community of faith. So I wanted to encourage your heart today simply by pointing out God has wired you and woven into you something very beautiful, something Adam saw as he got to know his wife, that every woman can mother. And for this, we should be thankful. And so I just want to thank you, ladies, for who you are. Not for the children you bear, not for all the messes you clean up, but who you are. Not just for the burdens you carry, but who God has woven into you. God wove into Eve before she even brought life into this world, that she would be a mother. And so to all of you in this room who struggle in this area, or to those in this room who don't feel like you're accomplishing much, just know that God has built something in you that is very special, and that is very exciting, that is very needed. And so I would love for you to value that and see that from the true perspective that God sees it from. This whole idea of discovering true perspective is very important and a critical part of a growing Christian walk. Allow me to explain. We as humans, we struggle with living in this true perspective. We struggle with seeing life as it's supposed to be seen. We just wrapped up recently a study in the book of Job. We talked about how one of the reasons that Job was kind of tested by God is because of Job's perspective of God. Because he saw God how God should be seen, or at least he did most of the time. He was unlike any other man on the earth. So if you think you have an incredible perspective of God, that you are a heartfelt follower of God, I would challenge you that Job might give you a run for your money, according to Scripture, with how well he could see God and the way that God wanted to move. He had the truest perspective, perhaps, of anybody that has ever lived. And so Job went through his trial, and in the midst of his trial, like all human beings, he forgot. He lost his perspective. Job chapter 29 says, verse 1, and Job took up his discourse and said, oh, that I were as in the months of old, as in the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shone upon my head, and by his light I walked through the darkness. As I was in my prime, when the friendship of God was upon my tent, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were all around me, when my steps were washed with butter, and the rock poured out for me streams of oil. Job is sharing with you his perspective of God, and that's an honest perspective. Verse 2 says, oh, that I were in the months of old, as in the days when God watched over me. Job's clearly saying God's not watching over me anymore. It's not true. We know based on the book and how the book ends that it's not true, that God never had left Job. But Job's perspective at this point is that God has left him. He says in verse 3, when his lamp shone upon my head and by his light I walked through the darkness. Job says, I went through hard times, but God was already always there. I could see because of where he was leading me. Now there's nothing but darkness and pain around me. I can see nothing. Again, not true. He says, as I was in my prime, when the friendship of God was upon my tent. Now he's saying that God is not even his friend. The reality is, no matter how well you believe your relationship is with God, unless you have true perspective of him, even in the hard times, you will forget. And when you forget, you won't celebrate. And when you don't celebrate, you won't be thankful. This ties perfectly to all the holidays we have, including Mother's Day. We forget to have true perspective of what our mothers have done. And so when we forget to be thankful. And because we forget to be thankful, we forget to celebrate. And we go on in our lives like wayward children. And this is Job, by the way. Let's look at David. King David in the Psalms, Psalm 13, 6 verses is the whole chapter. This is just David just gut-wrenching honest with his perspective of God. By the way, this is David, who is a man after God's own heart, who is a man who has such an intimate relationship with God that he talks with him and that God talks back. Chapter 13, verse 1 of the book of Psalms, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? Do you think the Lord can forget someone forever? David's perspective says he thinks so. How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. David recognizes the difficulty he has of following God in this passage. He recognizes that his perspective is that God is hiding his face, that God is out to raise up his enemies and over the top of him. He recognizes that God has forgotten him forever. And in the end, he says what? The only thing that he can say, I will remain thankful. I will remain true, even though my perspective at this point is completely and utterly broken. Why do we struggle with this? Why does every person in this room struggle to remember, struggle to walk out their faith in a daily way, struggle just to have a relationship with their mom that's as good as it is on Mother's Day? Do you know some people only talk to their moms on Mother's Day? Do you know, and the only reason they do it is because they don't want anybody to ask, did you talk to your mom on Mother's Day? And they don't have to say no. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like a shame-based leadership thing. That's why we all buy cards. That's why we all take to dinner. That's why we spend the time. But shouldn't we celebrate and remember what mom does more than just that? The truth is, as I said, we've never been able to remember much, and we struggle even more to remember how great our God is. Deuteronomy 6:12 says, then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Deuteronomy 8:11 says, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his rules, and his statutes, which I command you today. My friends, I'm going to put this on the screen. We struggle not because we forget God altogether. No, we struggle because we forget to be thankful for God and who he is to us. We forget to celebrate our special relationship. To be thankful or thanks-filled is to remember, and to remember what God has done in giving us life, and that's just to start. The book of Psalms is a book of remembering true perspectives. That's the whole idea of the book. There's many different ways to categorize the Psalms, but for our purposes in this series, we will focus on three types of Psalms over the next few weeks: thanksgiving, lament, and praise. Today, because of Mother's Day, we're going to focus on thanksgiving as we are. Psalms 103, 1 through 22 is the Psalm that I'd like to give you today to take home. Okay, this is your homework for the week, if you will. If you've never read the Bible, if you've never spent time in the Bible, this is a great psalm for you to read. And here's why. Because this psalm for me is the Lord's resume. This psalm for me is the Lord describing who he is and what it is he does. Like that video. Moms bend over and pick up things. Moms never sleep. Moms cook all the time. Moms have to have certain interpersonal skills and social skills. There's all these things that moms do. And so as moms do these things, we suddenly have a realization of who they are and why they're important to us. This psalm is that video for you about God. Because like we struggle to remember our moms except on this special day, most of us struggle to remember God at all, let alone the 60 minutes we come to church on Sunday morning. This psalm is for you. Now here's the best part of the psalm. The psalm, who's written by David, starts off with a blessing, starts off with remembering, starts off with thanking God for what he has done. And then it lists all the things God does, and then it ends with the same bookend blessing. This psalm is a roadmap to how we are to live our lives, both with each other and with God. We are to remember one another. We are to sacrifice for one another. And then we are to realize all the things that we do for one another. It's also a book about how much God has done for us. And I thought it was so very appropriate for today. So let me read it to you. Psalm chapter 103 starts off with blessing, says this: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy." Listen to all the things God does for us. "Who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. So bless the Lord, O you his angels and mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." When you read a psalm like this, when you spend time in a psalm like this, it's a lot like Mother's Day. Suddenly, you're sitting there and you're reading this and you're remembering and you're thinking and you're pondering and you're realizing all the situations that God was there, all the situations that he cleaned up after you, all the situations that he protected you, all the different ways that you didn't even say thank you when he nourished you, when he tucked you in, when he held you while you cried, when he listened at 9:30 at night like a good dad should. When you read a psalm like this, you realize just what an incredible creator we have. And you recognize that like Mother's Day, we shouldn't just celebrate him one time a year. Like we shouldn't just celebrate mom only on this day. This is our God. This is who he is. In seeing God from this perspective, we can live in thankful relationship with the one who brought us into this world. Through remembering to see him, we can see ourselves in the truest perspective of his incredible blessing. My question today for moms, or for ladies who have been woven to mother and to nurture and to be a part of society in this way, is: can you see yourself as God sees you, as one of the most valuable of all blessed things? Or have you forgotten? Have you forgotten not your children, not your husband, not your church family, not all your duties, but have you forgotten how God himself sees you? Have you realized that he has woven things into who you are that you have yet to discover? Have you realized that it is one thing to be honored by a card or a husband or a son or a daughter or a friend or a pastor? It's a whole other thing to be honored by God. And you are an honored creation of God. You are blessed and valuable and important. And I just wonder if you don't have a true perspective of that very often. If you struggle to see yourself how God sees you, if maybe you hear a little too often, mine, every time you walk into the room, my mom, my wife, my leader, my caregiver, my nurturer, my mom. Hearing God say, hold on, time out, my child, my Eve, my lady. How powerful would that be if you could realize what a blessing you are to each of us in this room? But I think it's got to start with you seeing it. For the rest of us, mainly talking to guys, we need to work on seeing the women that God has in our lives as something incredibly special. We need to step back like Adam did and say, wow, how blessed am I to be in community with that? I'm not just talking about our wives. I'm talking about women in general. We need to do better at showing more respect. We need to do better at taking hits from men outside perhaps the faith community or just outside the respect community that tend to disrespect women in our world. We need to do better at standing up and standing for and being a part and being partners and being in community with these incredible blessings that are in our lives. For those in the room that struggle, you just struggle with this because of stuff in your life that has happened because of women, because of a mom, because of other things. You need to see through that to the God who created you as well. I'm talking to men and women now. We need to be able to see through that and recognize that God is the one who invented motherhood and fatherhood. God is the one who invented the whole grand scheme of creation. And so we need to value his input higher than any other input. We need to have true perspective on what it means to be balanced, to be partnered, to be together, and to bring honor to our children, to other people's children, like we stood up here and dedicated. Some of these folks need help. I know them. I could see it in a couple other eyes. When I said help, they looked at me. One lady, right, she closed her eyes and on her eyelids, it just said, help me, right? That's all it said. And I was like, it was, but these people are doing the best they can in a very difficult society to raise their children, husband and wives. They need help. We as a community need to buy into this true perspective that God's design is always and always going to be the best design. It doesn't mean it's always going to look the same. It doesn't mean that you are going to somehow find yourself with 3 children and a perfect husband. Okay? Or maybe 11 children and a perfect husband. I don't know what your dream is. Right? It doesn't mean that. What it means is that God has built something inside you that can hear his Spirit's movement. And your job, man or woman, mother or father, is to respond with true perspective. That God has built something special, and our job is to be a part of that special relationship. And then above it all, we are to engage with our God. That's why I want you to read this psalm. Spend time in it this week. This is the resume of our God, because like on Mother's Day, if we can spend time with God and we can remember all the things he's done with us, like on Mother's Day, then suddenly, like the video, we can have a sit back, oh yeah, God perspective, and then we can be thankful, and then we can celebrate the relationship we get to have with him. Instead of all the things we blame him for, we can bless him instead. And so we can live in a place of celebration. And I'm here to tell you today, you can see a celebrated mom. Just like you can see a tired mom, just like you can see a depressed mom, just like you can see a defeated mom. When you see a mom that's celebrated, that is lifted up, that whose family has gone out of its way to lift her high, she looks different. She looks dangerous, frankly. I'm intimidated. You can just tell that she's like, things are difficult, but this is my family, this is my relationship, this is my church. I mean, there's a reason mama bear is a phrase that scares people, right? I had a mom of a youth student one time use that on me, and she was this little tiny like high-pitched voice, thick glasses, made cookies for us every single week, and something happened with one of her kids, and I didn't respond like I should have, and she walked up to me, and she very calmly walked up, and she was about this tall, and she stared at me, and she just said, you're going to do the right thing, or you're going to visit Mama Bear. And I was like, where's Mama Bear live? And she's like, she lives right here. That's where she lives. And then she just walked off, and I was like, hey, you want to go to coffee? This I was all, I mean, there's a reason, because you could tell she was celebrating. You could tell she was like, this is what I do. Now, again, this can spread to any area. This can spread to your ministry, to your home, to your work. If you are who God has built you to be, then you get to be that person celebrated. Guys, this is us too. Sometimes these Mother's Day talks are hard because mothers, we celebrate, and guys, we always say on Father's Day, do better, right? This talk can transition right into guys as well. You can see a celebrated dad. You can see a celebrated family and celebrated kids because they're people who remember first what God has done for them and second what they can do for each other, and they celebrate that. They don't live in the darkness of what if and this used to happen and this was. They live in the now and they focus on what God has given them, and they, like David here, they bless each other, they proclaim what each other has done for themselves and for each other, and then they bless each other again. This is what it means to be a family, this is what it means to be a church body, and this is what it means to be a healthy, well-balanced, holy, whole person. And so don't let this Mother's Day be the only day you call her by a card. Don't let this week be the only day you spend time in a psalm. Don't let this week or month be the only month that you buy a gift for someone just to remind them how important they are. Allow yourself to see yourself as God sees you and be reminded of what that looks like. I want to close today with a quick video, and then I'm going to come back up and pray for us. I thought this video was excellent. It's a video that a group did for moms. They pulled in moms and they asked them their own perspective of their mothering. And then they didn't tell them what was going to happen with the video. And they invited them a week later to come and see the video, to see the finished product of what it was going to be. And they didn't know that in the meantime, they had actually interviewed their children and asked their children their perspective of their moms. And I thought it was a great example of us maybe not seeing ourselves as we should and how God sees us through the light of his love. So please watch and I'll come back up.
I'm a perfectionist, and so that's hard with kids.
There's definitely days when I have my doubts about my abilities.
Struggle with my temper.
I struggle with, like, how I react with situations.
I wish I knew how to, I guess, just calm myself before speaking to them.
I wish I was better at taking time to sit down and just listen more to my child.
I wish I was more confident in being a mom.
I'm not the most patient person in the world.
Patience is far and away probably the biggest struggle.
I just want them to know just how much I love them.
My mom is totally awesome. She's fun to snuggle with. Pretty, funny. She does cook a lot of food for me. She's just unique. That's why I love her so much. We go on dates together. Like, we go shopping.
She loves me a lot.
I have a lot of favorite things about my mom.
We like to watch movies together and color and stuff.
We go to church together. We volunteer together.
She is like my heart, I guess you could say, because she's that close to me.
My favorite thing is to jump on a trampoline with my mom. That's my most favorite thing, to go up high.
We like get ice cream or something and like you go to the nail salon and have fun.
My mommy's my hero. She's pretty and beautiful.
She is my hero.
She just will care about me and just always love me forever. She's the best.
That's so awesome.
I always seem to focus mostly on the negative, and I guess I can walk out of here and say that I'm doing something great and that my child is viewing me in totally different lenses as I view myself. So that's inspiring.
This is my calling. This is my job. This is what I love to do, and I will do it better and with love each and every day because those kids count on me and they love me for what I'm doing.
Can I have all the women in the room please stand up? We as your church body want you to know how important you are to us. We appreciate you very much for all the sacrifices you've made. We appreciate you for the way that you handle difficult situations. Most importantly, we appreciate you for who you are. Just for who you are. I came across a poem. I'll put it on the screen for you. And I thought it said what I was feeling better than I could say it, better than all of us could say it ourselves, perhaps. A mother's love is something that no one can explain. It is made of deep devotion and of sacrifice and pain. It is endless and unselfish and enduring come what may, for nothing can destroy it or take that love away. It is patient and forgiving when all others are forsaking, and it never fails or falters even though the heart is breaking. It believes beyond believing when the world around condemns, and it glows with all the beauty of the rarest, brightest gems. It is far beyond defining, it defies all explanation, and it still remains a secret like the mysteries of creation. A many-splendored miracle man cannot understand, and another wondrous evidence of God's tender guiding. Heavenly Father, as we stand in this room of honored people, as we stand with something you've created that has been woven into creation for such an important part, Lord, we step back not just in awe of them, but in awe of you. What an amazing God you are to create such beings. What an incredible God you are to spend time weaving with such intricacy into the lives of so many talents, so many gifts, so much beauty. What an amazing God you are to bless us with our mothers. Will all others in the room please stand? Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you as a community and as a family for this group of people. We thank you for those in this room who have been blessed with incredible mothers, for those in this room who have, God, struggled but have seen through to you and your purpose. We thank you, Lord, for those who are still trying to find their way, God. We bless you for being there in it with them. We ask that this community would have true perspective, that, God, we would leave this place first remembering what it means to celebrate the special relationship we have with our mothers, but also that we have with each other, and most importantly, God, that we choose to remember what it is you have done for us. Through Psalm 103, may each person in this room recognize, God, all of the blessings you are to our lives, and in return, may we celebrate your presence in each of our hearts and each of our paths all along this journey we call life. And so, Lord, we thank you. We leave here lighter. We leave here with purpose. We leave here with no shame, but with understanding that you are a God who built us how we are, and that, God, you have worked miracles in our lives, and you will continue to do so. So we lift this holiday to you. We lift this week to you. We lift these moms to you. We lift these ladies to you. We lift these men to you, and we lift these children to you. And as one church body, we celebrate and bless your name above all names. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Man, thank you all for coming. Call your mom today. Celebrate somebody's mom. Give a hug and have a happy Sunday. We'll see you next week.